Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. Week two of the finals is done and dusted. And like Kingy and I, the Cats are still in the race. Kingy and I are still in the human race. And the Cats are still in the finals race. Richmond this week, plenty to dissect, particularly about last Friday night. Well, good effort by Geelong. And this week, no Hawkins. How do they set up forward? Who goes to Dustin Martin, the conditions, and what is the sexiest animal on the planet? These things will be discussed this afternoon on the Cat Attack Podcast. I've got a couple of theories about the sexiest animal on the planet, Kingy.
Yes, Benny.
And also got a couple of theories about the Cats. Look, they, well, you're a Cat fan. You went there hopeful rather than confident last Friday night, and you left thinking, well, it was a pretty strong effort. Middle of the third quarter when they were 7 points behind, you were getting a little Bruce Nankervis. In fact, you weren't getting a little Bruce Nankervis. You were getting very Bruce Nankervis. You were getting Ian Nankervis.
And you were lashing out at opposition players.
Yes, you were. And unfortunately, it's cost Tom Hawkins a week. But last quarter was a spifflication of West Coast. I think they doubled their possessions, 16 inside 50s to 4. I think they were plus 20 in contested possession. They absolutely dominated the last quarter when the game was on the line, which they did the previous week against Collingwood, albeit Collingwood had a couple on the pine. But, yeah, look, they're finished strong, the Cats, so it gives them something.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Did we mention Kurzawa?
Kurzawa.
Kurzawa have been on board the Cat Attack Podcast since its inception in 1943, so they've been a wonderful supporter of the Cat Attack Podcast.
They picked a good time to get on board.
They
North,
did.
North Geelong Grove, Darwin Ocean Grove.
One of the longest running podcast sponsorships on the planet is the Geelong Cat Attack Podcast and Kurzawa.
We were podcasting before podcasting was actually...
I was clanging coconuts together in the backyard with my crystal set. I didn't realise I was podcasting until the other day, but I've been podcasting since Adam was in the Cadets.
All right. This is the issue.
There's plenty of them. Well, I've got plenty.
Yeah, we know.
I just had a blood test, Kingy.
Did you?
I just went and had a blood test, and I didn't swap it for anything else. I just was my own. It was my own red stuff. Yeah. I didn't go and get that Geelong Show vampire arrangement. Have you heard about the theory about Joel Selwood last week?
No.
Well, what happened
was
when he got that cut to the eye, he came off.
Yes.
And they were going to stitch it up, and he said, look, just leave it and just make sure there's just a little bit of blood trickling for the remainder of the game. Do you know why?
It makes a good photo.
But there's another reason too. Do you know what it is?
What?
That I think the Cats, his teammates lift if there's a bit of claret on the skipper. It's an intangible. It's a champion data stat.
How many games have Geelong won as a result?
They've never been beaten when there is claret on the scone of the skipper. So this week...
Somebody needs to split him over.
Well, he will pre-game. He's going to just maybe get... He might have to go to the Geelong Show and get some of that vampire stuff and just launch it down the side of his cranium because that is an unbelievable... That is the barometer of the Cats, the claret on the skipper's head.
56 goals, 32 he's kicked, Tom Hawkins. So he's had 88 scoring shots this year. Geelong as a team have had 528 scoring shots. So basically that is one in six scoring shots from the Cats.
Yep.
Is from Tom Hawkins. That's 16%. That's a massive number.
Yeah, that's big. Well, look, what you got to try and look at the positives. He's not playing, okay? So we can moan and bitch and say, well, you know, we can't win and all this sort of stuff.
I mean, basically, can we just go back to the incident? The incident was born out of frustration because I think at the time what was going through his head was, oh no, we're going out in straight sets.
He was thinking beyond Borg.
Yeah.
Straight sets.
Yeah. And I would be shocked if he was thinking anything else because right at that time is when the Eagles were on top and we even in the Carrick box were going, oh, this ain't going to end well.
No, they were in trouble at that point. All the momentum was against. They'd led by, the best part of six goals and then trailed.
32 points was as big as they got.
Well, that's six goals.
Yep.
Because if you kick five, you'd still be 2 points behind.
Correct.
So
you'd find a couple of behinds in there, Benny.
But, yeah, and then they were 7 points behind. The momentum was against. Gafford kicked a couple and you're thinking, oh, God.
Well, he'd kicked three goals for the year, Andrew Gaff.
I know. Interestingly, he was on Mark Blitzarves to start that third quarter and set fire to him. But
that won't be happening again. I don't think M. Blitzarves is starting on a wing this week.
Well, we'll talk about those matchups. But, it was just silly. And, I mean, they're not a Geelong supporter who thinks, well, I mean, there would be some, but he unfortunately deserves a week. That's the reality.
Do you reckon the captain pulls him aside and goes, mate, what?
No. I mean, what? It's done. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if Tom, there'd be no person more upset or devastated or disappointed than Tom Hawkins.
Will Chris Scott give him the Dennis Pagan to Wayne Schwoss in 97?
No. I mean, he made a mistake, and look, no one would be more disappointed than Tommy, and he'll just be doing all he can to try and be. He's got to be a positive influence now around the group. Mm-hmm. There's no point in everybody walking around Marty saying we can't win without Tom Hawkins. They've got to find a way to win. So if you're Geelong, and I'm sure this happens within the playing group, the fans say, oh, geez, no Hawkins, can't win. Yeah, I get that. But they've got to find
commentators say no Hawkins can't win.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Well, exactly. So everybody externally is going to be saying, and the bookies, $1.37 they're into, $1.45 into $1.37 Richmond. Geelong are at $3.20. If you want to be...
What's the line?
Yeah, the more you bet, the more you win. But
gamble responsibly. Yeah,
so the bookies are giving the Cats absolutely no hope. So what they're going to do is try and turn that into a positive. How do they fashion something that can beat Richmond? Yep. My theory is, and it may prove to be incorrect, but
I love your
Hawkins,
theory,
Hawkins, if you lost Hawkins for a season, it would be catastrophic. Okay, if he was out, say, round two for the rest of the year, although Richmond have lost Rance and they're $1.37 in the prelim this week. So, but if you lose Hawkins for the year, okay, you say, look, that's going to be a really difficult thing to cover. For 1 week, it has the potential to make Geelong more unpredictable.
Yep.
So how they fashion... My thing is Dangerfield needs to play forward.
Yep.
Because I think the midfield is actually potentially better without Dangerfield in it. And I don't mean that. I just mean it potentially is more accountable.
Yep.
And can still function, has enough guts and enough juice in it to play and win enough ball without Dangerfield in it.
Yep.
So he's up forward. Yep. He plays as a forward. Predominantly... I mean, if you want to throw him into the midfield for a quick burst, okay, but he plays 80% of the game as a forward.
He may go, look, I reckon they need me in there right now. We need a clearance or we need a couple of bodies taken out or a burst or something, and he might just make that decision himself.
Well, potentially.
Which, a bit like Ablett's done a couple of times this year. He's gone, oh, I reckon I need to be in there.
Well, maybe Gaz plays a little bit more on ball.
I reckon he needs to because he's actually been ineffective. In the finals.
He's been quiet, yeah. Well, he's playing predominantly forward. So Dangerfield plays as a forward alongside Radaglia. Radaglia is your deepest option. Dangerfield's your roaming option inside forward 50. The other thing that it might do, Kingy, is that it means that with no Hawkins, the mindset of the Geelong players changes slightly. Mm. The bomb it long to the top of the square it will obviously happen at times when you're under pressure, but... It may be that they lower their eyes, they hit up the option, they pull apart Richmond's defence by using the shorter option, knowing that Hawkins is not there.
Yep.
So it potentially has the it makes them more difficult to defend and more unpredictable to defend.
Yep.
Part of that will be how the midfield can get the ball in. Mm-hmm. If they're getting clear ball in, they're able to do that. If they're under pressure, it's a lot harder to spot up blokes if you're under pressure. So it's how the defence defends, how well they can defend and rebound,
yep.
How well the midfield then can find space and use the footy. Lower their eyes, hit options, pull apart the defence. You've got to have somebody on Vlorston and Hooley. Vlorston can dominate the game in the air, and Hooley just runs like a frightened farmer and sets them up off half back. So I'd be sending Atkins to
Hooley.
To Hooley.
Yep.
And I'd be sending, it's an interesting one for Vlorston. I don't know, there's no obvious...
You've got to be careful that you don't have too many defensive matchups in your forward line.
Well, that's true, but you've got to be accountable. I mean, the week before, Gary Rowan on Jeremy Howe, Collingwood identified Gary Rowan as the man who is completely out of form. We don't have to worry about him. We'll put somebody on who can actually influence the game. Jeremy Howe took 13 marks playing on Gary Rowan, who touched the ball 3 times.
Is Gary Rowan the in?
Well, I hope not.
I think he will be.
No, I think that's catastrophic for the
Cats. Well, who's the in then?
I'd bring in a midfielder. It's going to be wet. They're suggesting it's going to be wet. I'd bring in either Scott Selwood or Charlie Constable as an inside midfielder.
Constable wasn't even in the emergencies last week. So something tells me that Charlie Constable is out of favour.
Well, I'd bring in a midfielder.
So it has to be Scooter.
Well, the other one they could bring in, and I know the Cat fans will jump up and down, is Parsons.
I don't like that.
Oh, that's not the worst decision in the world. I mean, think about Parsons.
He's one that could bob up and kick you 2 goals that you potentially.
He could also bob down and do absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And he's proven...
But you'd wind him up like an...
In bigger games, he's struggled.
You'd wind James him up like a top.
Yeah, well, he's... At this stage of his career, he's one of those players that tends to only play well when the team plays well. He's not a player who's going to go against the flow of the momentum of a game and play well. He just doesn't have that in him. He's one of those icing on the cake type players. So in a tough final, I would rather have somebody who's getting the ball, who can win the footy, who you know can win the footy. Parsons needs others to win the footy for him. That's why I just don't think... And in a wet game, I just don't think he's the option. And Gary Rowan, please, if you're kidding. He hasn't had a kick for 3 months.
I would say his favourite, though.
Well, I hope not. I think that's not. I think that's just picking names. That is just picking a name because he's recruited to your club.
True.
He hasn't had a kick.
Since round nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20,
and he's injured.
Yeah, 20 goals after 9 rounds.
And his man dominated against Collingwood. Richmond will do exactly the same. They'll find the matchup and just exploit it.
Because it's going to be wet, no Henderson?
I wouldn't have thought so. Cats have just got to find a way. But they've got to find a way for the Hawkins out to be a positive in the way that they play.
Yep.
That's what they've got to do, and it's got to be unpredictable to Richmond.
All right. If you were picking the team and it's Hawkins out, who's your in?
Well...
One name.
Well,
I'm giving you mine. Scott Selwood.
If it's wet, I wouldn't be against that. Playing in the midfield, looking to maybe shut down somebody like a Prestia around the ball. Prestia's been in, forget... I mean, Dustin Martin is the killer, but...
Does Guthrie go to Martin?
Well, I hope so. They can't allow Dustin Martin just to do whatever he likes because he's too skillful.
Because Brisbane let him do that.
Oh, they went berserk. They've got to shut down Dustin Martin to a degree. Now, you're not going to shut him down for the whole game. You're not going to keep him to 10 possessions. But they've got to limit his capacity to influence the game. By that, I mean limit where he gets the ball. So Guthrie to Martin... As a semi-tag, not, you know.
Martin, the only issue is Martin will want to take him forward and go, I reckon I've
got when he does that, Jay Collajasny goes to him.
Yeah, he's got to just...
So when he drifts forward...
They've just got to be careful that they're aware of that, because that's where they'll run into issues. If Martin just sort of all of a sudden just ducks forward...
Lurks.
Yeah, basically, he'll kill Guthrie in the air.
Yeah. Yeah, Guthrie's actually not a bad defender.
No,
he keeps his feet and he's quick.
But you won't want him either in the air against him, or going one-on-one body-wise with
him. Maybe not. It wouldn't be diabolical, but yeah, I agree. So Collajasny takes him when he's deep. Guthrie takes him when he's up the ground.
Yep.
Prestia is the one who's been in really good...
the meatball.
Yeah, the little meatball with footy boots on. He covered in some sort of bolognese. I love to be covered in bolognese. That was one of the fantasy things that we did once. But anyway...
keep rolling.
Fantasy footy. Presti's been in really good form this year. He's not a great kick, but geez, he gets the ball around the stoppages. So Scott Selwood to play some sort of tagging role on Prestia, it leaves Cochin has had a really interrupted year. He's been in and out with injury, and he is not hitting this final series in red hot form.
No, just played the 12 games, Koch.
Yeah, he's
only averaging 20 disposals too.
So put it on him to lift, because I don't know that he has it. He's a very good player, but I don't know that he has the runs on the board in terms of this year, in terms of his form, to be the front man. So try and limit Prestia, limit Martin.
Yep.
And then put it on Cochin and put it on Shane Edwards to the ones who have got to step up.
Yep.
And I think that puts the Cats in a really good position then. But Geelong have a history of never tagging anyone and just backing their process and structure, and sometimes it goes a bit skew-if on them.
It does. Would you like some questions? Answer my question first.
Who's in?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Scott Selwood in.
Yep.
I wouldn't be disappointed with that. Selwood or Constable, because Constable will win his own ball, and he would like the wet conditions because he's just a ball magnet. So it's going to be a lot of stoppages, a lot of in-close stuff. That's where Charlie Constable can shine. He's still only young, but I wouldn't be disappointed with either of those two in. I'd be disappointed if they bring in Gary Rowan.
All right. Daz Broncos, bang, straight off the bat. Well, that was exciting and damn tiring for yours truly. I think Daz Broncos was doing a 36-hour straight run with work and tuning into us.
Surely a bit of health and safety, you can't do that.
much like CS and the team, we made it through. I know that Tommy Atkins has been sliding off form of late, but I felt for his second final ever, his game was probably the best of the year. Tommy Stewart's a dead set gun, and that All-Australian jacket fits him damn well. And the skipper just issued another masterclass in leadership, dragging the team along with you and showing how really good he is. Moving forward, I'm still on the Kruger to replace Hawkins train. I know I've been dropped on my head as a baby and it won't happen, but if we accept one VFL to AFL to AFL final, two giant steps up, two, he's fit and it's a dry game. Why can't we play him as a lead-up forward out of the square? He works hard defensively in forward 50. He runs straight at the ball, very physical in the contest. He's booming kick for goal. He's also fairly agile and well filled out for a bloke of his size. He's not playing.
No, I like... He said, good. That was a... If I'm there purchasing something off Daz, I'm buying all that.
Services
I've
selling.
I've got my credit card out already and just tap and go sort of style. look, I agree with all that. Unfortunately, it's probably a year or two too early for Kruger.
He'll play senior footy next year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, King. They'll certainly give him some games in the preseason at the very least. So, you'd be absolutely loathe having not played a senior game. And Daz, I think the weather forecast is for some precipitation now. There was supposed to be precipitation in the Collingwood game too, but that never happened. But yeah, it's supposed to be wet on Friday. So, good sales pitch, but in the end, we'll have to decline the offer.
The Tigers' D's not overly tall, but works well in structure. A Freddie Sav combo would be good at breaking that structure up, or maybe I'm still just concussed. thank you, Daz Broncos. The Gov, I'm wrapped with the win, but here's the monkey that'll be on the back of Chris Scott if we lose on Friday night. Our preliminary finals record has not been great. If we lose on Friday, will the media place the blowtorch on Chris Scott for another failure in September?
Probably not, because they won a final. If somebody said to you, Kingy, at the start of the year that the Cats would play in a prelim, you would have said that was a successful year.
They've overachieved.
Yeah.
But you would have thought that they were playing in that prelim on the virtue of winning an elimination and a semi-final.
Yeah, that's my point. So given their home and away season and then how they hit the finals with no injuries, how then, let's just say if they lose on Friday night, mm-hmm. how will we view Geelong's season in its entirety?
That's a really good question. Because I suppose it's what your expectation was at the start of the year. And then they get our hopes up by the way they went through the home and away season.
I'd say on balance...
It's a positive year.
Yeah, you've got Myers playing. You've got you brought in Dalhouse, who did well, who's still relatively
Atkins.
You got a year into Atkins, you've got another year into Radicalea. Henry's got another year. Clark, Colajasny,
Stewart.
So there are huge positives. What will stick in your craw is that potentially, if Geelong don't get over Richmond, that game against Collingwood will stick in your core as a Geelong player and hopefully a Geelong club, because it was an opportunity missed to go into another part of the draw, offered an easier passage to the grand final, and then once you're there, who knows? Geelong shot themselves in the foot to a degree by playing, A, probably selection, and B, playing poorly when it counted.
And then there's the flow-on effect. They don't play the second week of the final, so we're not talking about Tom Hawkins being suspended.
Yep. I just think you'll be able to. The thing about it is, you will be able to find things on both sides of the ledger. There'll be positives, and in the end, there will be negative that you did. But let's hope they can win Friday night.
So they are 4-10 in finals since the 2011 grand final.
Yep.
Lose this week, and they're 4-11.
Yep.
They're not good darts.
No, they're not. They're not. I was really impressed last Friday night, though. I mean, I was like all Geelong fans, it was little bit doom and gloom after the week before.
Because you are a glass half empty, man.
Well, I'm a realist, Kingy. It's not a glass half empty. I'm like Dr. Julius Sumner Miller. He was a realist too. He knew that if he put
a glass
sulfuric acid in with his milk, it would blow up and his cranium would go purple. something else might have gone a little bit purple too with old Julius Sumner Miller. But I'm a realist, so I don't jump up and down about the Cats winning or losing. I just sort of try and keep it, in the words of Ali G, keep it real. look, I don't know. It's an interesting question about how you'll view the season. Let's hope they win Friday night, though.
I'm bullish about them.
Well, I'm not bullish.
Aren't you?
I'm more hopeful and confident. Richmond are in good form. The thing that would Hawkins, Asprey isn't a great matchup for Hawkins. Yeah. He's not a gorilla type defender. Yeah. So if you're able to get the ball, exactly the same as Jeremy McGovern.
Yep.
He's as long as he can read the play, but if he has to actually go toe-to-toe with a gorilla, it's not his go. Mm. Asprey's the same, but it just drops him down a level. Radaglia, suddenly Grimes then takes the third. Rather than having to press up and take the second best option, which would have been probably Radaglia, he's then able to go to the third option.
But if they play Dangerfield forward, he's not an easy matchup.
No, that's my point. That's why I think they have to play Dangerfield forward, because he makes you nervous. Mm. In the air, then at ground level, he can do things that mean that whoever plays on him probably doesn't have an influence going the other way.
No.
Because they're going to be so worried about Patrick Dangerfield. And that's what Geelong have to try and do, particularly with Vlorsten and Hooley. And I'm not suggesting either of those two probably go to Dangerfield, but Geelong have to find a way to take Vlorsten and Hooley out of the contest. And then I think that you're looking at Broad is not a – Broad's a Dow defender.
Yep.
He's not an attacking defender. Asprey's a bit the same. Grimes is a bit the same. And the other one is Short, who is a little bit of an attacking defender. Lovely kick.
He
doesn't tend to rack up the numbers of the other
two. Do you know what the Cats have got to do with Short? Because he takes that kick in, they need to pressure that kick in. If they allow him 10 to 15 metres to trot off into a pocket and go bang, they can clear that over that line, and that's where they get the footy out the back.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, look, so anyway, we'll find out Friday night, won't we?
Turbo Cat, Ablett seems to be carrying an injury, either groin, leg or back, not making the distance from inside 50, whereas earlier in the year he was doing it easy. Have you heard anything? I asked him about that at yesterday's media conference. I said, Gary, you don't seem to have the length on your kick that... Ben, don't look at me like that. The length on your kick that you had earlier in the year.
As long as you put the kick in after that question.
And I knew what the answer was going to be. He goes, I thought I had a better option. So he goes, there's one he passed up that he would normally have taken. And he goes, I don't know why I passed it up. And I nearly had to stop myself from saying, blokey used to be number five. He never passed him up.
Are you
really his son?
Your dad never, DNA test, your dad never passed.
No Clark, no Duncan, now no Hawkins, no Cockatoo probably doesn't even count. It seems in recent years we've always managed to have a depleted team come the business end, and going into play Richmond without our best side probably rung on the ladder too hard for us. Now we're now left with Sav as our only marking option. I don't think he's up to being number one yet. The lack of our other options to have been played through the year means they've been very limited choices come Friday night. Buzzer, for instance, kicked regular goals and was never considered, so he can't come in now. Taylor can mark, but he's a poor forward and a bad kick. Stanley, poor forward. Rowan is surely not pickable. Ford, I'd have thought not. Do they put Tui forward again with what an ugly set of options? If the best option is to play Danger as a forward, who is the mid that comes in? Scott Selwood.
Or Constable.
Constable.
You're saying he's not even in the mix.
Chris Scott's going to trot out his name. So we're recording this on Tuesday morning. Chris Scott's going to face the media at 10:30. And he's going to trot out names. They're going to ask, who do you think's, who's in the mix? And he's going to go, well, it's going to be Rowan. It's going to be Parsons. It's going to be Selwood. It's going to be Zach Smith. It's going to be, he will trot out six or seven names. Now, of those six or seven names, five of them are not playing.
No.
Five of them are legitimately not playing. But it's all smoke and mirrors at this time of year. He's not going to come out and say, well, we've narrowed it. Well, although he did say last night on 360, they met as a coaching group on Saturday and they started with about five or six options planning for Hawkins to be suspended. They started with five or six options and he said they've narrowed it down to two. But they're not going to get, he's not going to tell them what the two options are. We're not going to find that out until, well, Geelong will name a team at 6:30 on Thursday night, and then they will finalise a team at 6:20 Friday night, and I reckon what's named 6:30 Thursday night might be a little bit different to 6:20 Friday night.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. I just think if they bring in Rowan, you're going on hope. You can't go on hope in finals.
Yeah, you're backing that he finds what he did in the first
and
9 weeks.
It was so long ago since he had a kick.
Yep.
You can't go in on hope, at least.
And he's not fit.
No, he's carrying something.
Yeah.
That's just a diabolical mix for Gary Rowan. He's not good enough to get a kick. He can struggle when everything's going his way, let alone when it's not going his way. Get somebody in there who you know is going to give you something. It's not going to be match winning stuff, but it's going to be something. Gary Rowan's bad is diabolically bad.
Yep.
And that was proven against Collingwood.
At least Scott Selwood, you know you're going to get an even.
You're going to get 10 tackles.
Yep.
And you're going to get 15 possessions,
yep.
And you're going to get him with the capacity to send him to somebody.
And do you know what? From what I understand, Scott Selwood's not at Geelong next year.
No, it could be. He's a battle-hardened veteran.
Yeah, the talk is that post the VFL game, he was fairly emotional when they got knocked out, because he basically he thought, well, this might be the last time I pull the hoops on. So he might go, well, hang on, door open. Door open and big performance we get through. Mitch Duncan, no certainty to play in a grand final.
Could change.
Things could change.
And if it's slightly wet and slippery there, he's conditions.
Yep.
That he's battle-hardened veteran.
So Larry Donoghue asks, oh, Laz, great to hear from you again. What are your thoughts about bringing in Smith and playing Stanley and Radicalea forward where the weather's telling us that's not happening?
And Stanley's... You can't just decide that you're going to play Stanley forward for a game having not played there for 2 years.
Yep. Cat to the future. With the Tomahawk now spectating this week, is it time to start panicking that we didn't give Wiley Buzzer a game earlier in the year?
No. Wiley Buzzer's unfortunately not good enough.
No. Kenjo, Hawkins out is a huge loss, but does give us the option to add an element of unpredictability in our forward line. Let's throw Danger forward, inject Adkins into the mids, bring that tackling pressure from last week, play Tui in the forward line. I don't mind Tui forward.
No. Well,
because he'll have a defensive mindset against a...
Well, maybe he's one you could try to Vlorsten.
Yeah.
To try and nullify him. But like you say, you want to be wary of having too many negative matchups in your forward line. It's not so much a negative matchup. They've just got to be really wary of Hooley and Vlorsten, because they just control the game at times off halfback. And I think Adkins on Hooley would be a really good option for the Cats. Just get him to stick to him. Limit him to 20 touches and his capacity to run off.
6 o'clock Friday night?
Yeah, we'll be there front and square, really looking forward to it. So it's a big opportunity for the Cats. Whoever wins this game, I think, probably goes into the grand final as the favourite.
Correct.
Particularly if it's Richmond, they'll certainly be favourite.
I think the flag winner comes out of this prelim.
Oh, I think you might be right too, Kingy. Look, last year, Collingwood went into the prelim against Richmond with a whole heap of blokes out and got the chockies.
Yep.
Geelong have to find a way. And you know what? The other thing that we didn't mention in terms of turning the Hawkins out into a positive, it creates a little bit of that us against them.
Yep.
You know, us against the world. And maybe Geelong had a bit of that last week after the week before against Collingwood.
Yep.
Last week, they took that into the West Coast game, started brilliantly, held off West Coast who were charging, and then in the end put them to bed in that final quarter pretty well. 20 points, dominated the final term. Can they replicate that us against them with Hawkins out? Create a different vibe within the group in terms of the way they play, make themselves a little bit more unpredictable, get your matchups right. Mm. Try and take away Richmond's... The four players that we mentioned, Prestia, Martin, Hooley, and Vlorsten.
Yep.
Those four players, if Geelong can nullify their influence... Well, it sounds like I had about 17 Carlton drafts then. Harry Taylor can go to Lynch. He's a straight line type player. I reckon that's a good matchup for the Cats. Collar Jasny goes to Riewoldt.
Yep.
And potentially takes Martin when he's deep.
Where does Blitzarves
go? I'd have Blitzarves as my roaming type defender.
Your floater.
Well, maybe off a wing, but coming back as a defensive type player where he can influence the game defensively. Because we saw he just doesn't read the play as well up the ground. He reads the play for whatever reason really well defensively, not so much up the ground. He didn't have a massive influence last Friday night.
No.
In fact, Gaff nearly wanted to put West Coast back into the game in opening 5 minutes of the third quarter when he was on Blitzarves. Kicked two goals and had four possessions in 4 minutes. Mm. So, got to get the matchups right. Start well. Put Richmond on the back foot. They can't allow Richmond to dominate. And it's up for grabs. You mentioned Ablett. It'd be great for Ablett to play a good game.
Mm.
He just gives them that spark, and he gives them he's got that creativity and the skill to influence the game off 15 to 20 possessions. Now, he's only had 15 the last 2 weeks, but hasn't had a massive influence.
Yep.
Be great to see him hit the scoreboard for a couple of goals and maybe set a couple up. That would be huge fillip for the Cats in what is probably going to be a low-scoring game, given the conditions and given Geelong's ability to stop the opposition from scoring. I got no doubt Geelong will limit Richmond's scoring. It's whether they can score enough up the other end.
See you Friday night, Benny.
Yep, good work.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au. Go Cats!
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.